Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I've had such a fantastic Cinco de Mayo that I'm not even going to do my usual, say something extremely outrageous and then whatever. I'm just going to jump right into it. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, America's least favorite podcast. So here I am, Stephen Van Patten, joined by Denise Tapscott from the West Coast, Mark Abbott, rocking his Cameron shirt, Kirk Johnson, who has launched a whole, fantasy horror literary label.
You could just say book.
Literary masterpiece.
It's a book.
And of course, if you go on Amazon, you're just going to see the intro, unless you buy the book. But we want you to buy the book. Don't just be cheap and just read the intro, because all that is Kirk talking about himself. And then there is our special guest tonight, a woman who literally wins an award every, 6 hours. Like, I want to say she's on some It's a Wonderful Life shit. Like, every time she wins an award, an angel gets their wings. I can't even. Oh, I can't even keep up.
It's like a spatial loop. Like, wait, didn't she win last year? What do you mean last year? Like,
even in the multiverse, like the versions of her that are when they have wings, they're white, they're black, they're Asian, like all of these versions, they just win one award after the next. It's amazing and tiresome all at the same time.
She got the glove.
I just
bought the
book. She got the glove.
I just bought the book she hasn't written yet. It's good, too.
Right?
It's
right,
amazing.
Exactly. What the hell is going on? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't
you
even.
You need to give up them stones, girl. You need to give up them stones.
Right. All five. She has all five.
She has all five.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Lady Thanos of Black Horror, Elmer Ewald. Oh my God. It is so nice to have her here. So nice to have her here. And her random Basquiat thing that she has going on behind her. So how's everybody doing? First of all, anybody can take, you know what? I'll start with the ladies first. Denise, how are you?
I'm okay. This week is just heavy. Is that a good way to put it?
And that's why that's actually why I'm starting with the ladies, because and L, outside of your very big trophy case, yes, I'm sure you're kind of feeling you're kind of feeling it a little bit, because lo and behold, here we are being transported back in time.
Mm-hmm.
because let's just put it out there. So apparently we're still on this thing where we're assaulting abortion rights. And before anybody else is like, here's the thing. Yes, I know this was originally supposed to be a podcast with middle-aged black motherfuckers talking about horror, science fiction, and superhero movies and all this other stuff, but y'all keep fucking up the world. So
like real life horror.
Right.
So right. No, that's exactly hard. Right. It's a little hard to talk about the cute little novels we write and all this horror stuff that we do. And Denise being in a web series where she gets to be a vampire and Mark, of course, is accomplishing amazing things Kirk has his whole thing. Marie, you literally, you have more awards than Daniel Day-Lewis. And all of that's going on, but the thing about it is we have these old white men that are fucking up the world. So, all right, fine. Here we are. So before we talk about all of that old happy stuff, I feel like we need to get our feelings about that off our chest. That's why I did that. So yeah, ladies, what the fuck?
I am grateful that I'm in California. We're going to be like a sanctuary state should all that stuff go through.
Absolutely.
And I hate to say this, but this is one of the few times I'm glad that I'm not a parent trying to raise a kid right now. Right. What happens if there's an accident and, you know, someone gets pregnant? What are you going to do? You hope you be California, because it's scary. It's terrifying. Like, what's next? The abortion is just the beginning. Like, what other thing are they going to start picking on? What else are they going to take away from us?
Mm-hmm. Well, Handmaid's Tale. I want to say they're going after LGBT community.
Next. Yeah.
Yes.
Which case, we'll probably need to bring somebody on to address that. But yes, absolutely. I want to say that's next. I want to say, you know, gay marriage and voting rights. Those are the next two things on their agenda.
Yeah.
You know, what bothered me most about this is that when we woke up and heard this leak, this, you know, this was out and this was a possibility. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. I thought we already handled this. This is over. We were fine. This wasn't even something we were dealing with. We're not worried about this. How can I now wake up and think to myself, someone thinks they can tell me what to do with my body again? I thought we handled this already. Right. And I made the comment because I'm in West Virginia. So, you know, it's not, you know, that's going to be an issue here. Mm. Immediately should something like this pass. Right.
Yes.
And I said, I made a comment to someone I was talking to about, it's the same as when, and I can't remember the state, check me on this. It's like a couple of years ago, was it South Carolina? The Capitol building had the Confederate flag waving for some reason. I just can't even recall what it was for.
Yes.
But living here and where I live in West Virginia, it's like literally, I could say I live in, like I'm 15 minutes from Maryland, 20 minutes from Virginia. Like literally, I'm right on the little sliver you see on the map. And we call the panhandle. Like literally, it's not, nobody from here is from here. Like everybody living here is a transplant. Mm. And a lot of New Yorkers here, which is funny. That's really kind of funny because I'm like, what are we all doing here? But anyway, I remember the next day when we saw, you know, you wake up, you see this crazy news about the Confederate flag and you're like, what is going on? And then, but I went out to Target and now I'm seeing flags everywhere. And they were not out the night before. And what I kept thinking was, you know, racism exists. You know, people still believe in this stuff. You know it inherently. But when you see it, you know, now this guy that I'm in this Target and there's 10 cars with the flag waving. I don't know who's got this flag. I don't know who owns this car. But I know I've seen these same few cars. The town's been so big, right? I know these same few cars have been in the same places I've been before. How many of them were walking around looking at me like I didn't belong there, sneering at, you know, jeering at me, sneering at me, all these different things. And I was oblivious. So that moment you wake up and you realize, oh, wait, things really haven't changed as much as I thought. And then this week we woke up and women predominantly, I'm sure men support as well, but when we're affected, but women woke up and went, oh my God.
Right.
It's not any different. They still feel this way about us. And they can tell us what they want to tell us. And I have a daughter, you know, and I'm just thinking, I mean, the hell if somebody's going to tell her what she's going to do with her body. We're not having this conversation, you know? And but at the same time, I didn't think I'd have to be potentially breaking laws and crossing state lines to stand up for my child should something occur. Because look, let's not be naive. Life is life, right? Let's we're all grown here. Let's stop playing like we're children. You know, let's stop with the fairy tale. Life is life and mistakes happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You got it. I should be able to do what I'm going to do with my own self and you not tell me what to do with myself. And I'm, so again, it was that moment of waking up and going, oh my God, we're back in this boat again. So I've been unsettled ever since I heard the news, you know, about the leak.
Of course. So yeah. And you know what? So here's the thing about Republicans. They move as one. They do. They really do. We, as, and I'm not, I don't even know if I can necessarily call myself a Democrat anymore. I'm a registered Democrat, but at the end of the day, it's like, I am not necessarily willing to cannibalize one of my own for the sake of moral high ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, so the Republicans keep their, they keep their message afloat by being consistent to their ignorant base. And meanwhile, we, as the folks that are categorized on the left, will cannibalize Al Franken. And I'm just throwing that in as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Al Franken started up as a comedian and then went on to be a senator, but pictures surface and all of a sudden his seat in the Senate gone, his own kind turn on him. And I'm just using this as an example because what's important to notice about that is the maintenance of the high ground, of moral high ground, is not doing us any service, because what ends up happening is Republicans don't worry about that. Because they're on a completely different agenda. They're walking on the same sort of like, they're walking the same line, all of them. Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more maddening about this is you have the Joe Manchins of the world, Kristen Sinemas of the world, who are supposed to be on our side, but are literally voting against what's supposed to be the party line. And then they're sitting there taking selfies with the people that are basically destroying our democracy. Because, you know, they're all homies. And yeah, and I didn't mean to necessarily take the show down this whole dark road, but here we are, because this whole abortion thing, the fact that this is happening right now in 2022
mm-hmm.
it's maddening. It's mm-hmm. utterly maddening. And mm-hmm. it's really sad. It makes me actually on one end happy that I don't actually have children, but I do have two goddaughters. And you know, just the fact that I actually, because here's the thing, it would be one thing to, you know, maybe it would be one thing to maybe have some random restriction on somebody that was on their fourth or fifth abortion, because now you're being irresponsible.
Right. Now you're acting like it's birth control.
Right.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Well, that becomes, but, I think, a mental health question at that point. That's a mental health question.
And absolutely. 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 Yeah. But it's a whole other thing when you are legitimately raped.
Right.
And still have to worry about, like, some people, like, I'm sorry, some local governments in different states are actually pushing the idea of co-parenting with the rapist.
What?
Ugh. Oh my God,
that yes, ridiculous. That's on the table. Ridiculous. That is on the table. And
that's the craziest thing I think I've ever heard.
I'm the guy that, if you're my sister, you're my mother, and if you're my woman, like, I'm shooting your rapist.
Yeah.
I'm going to jail.
He's dead. Dead.
Right? Dead. I'm
over your rapist. Granted, I'm probably also killing myself because, you know, let's face it, I'm not necessarily built for jail, but...
No, we find some place with extradition law. That's not happening.
I'm just saying. But
just tie your shirt up right by your stomach.
Oh, dear God.
That will help. That might help. Lord. Just to survive for a little bit until we can get you out.
Thanks, Kirk. Bad.
Stupid.
I mean, I'm, you know, but that's all right. So that is how the three of us do things. It's like we do say this kind of shit to each other. It is what it is. I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what to say to that. It's like, and it's literally tied to the fact that statistically speaking, in a couple of decades, white people will be outnumbered.
You know, in a couple of decades,
despite the fact that they're killing us at every traffic stop that they can fucking muster.
Yeah.
I still don't think it'll help.
And no, because...
It won't. Because it's already a 1%er thing anyway. Right. It's all, you know what I mean? They should have did something about cinema and Manchin. And it's like, and the thing is, Manchin, that nigga's been in Congress forever.
Forever.
It's not like you did not know, right? Pelosi. Mm-hmm. It's not like you, I'm sorry for taking the take. This is a.
No, do it.
This is a thing that I feel has been common knowledge since the 80s.
Yes.
Right? Since the Southern Strategy went into effect. Mm-hmm. And Republicans started courting the Midwest and the South.
Mm.
It's not like this has never been on the table, right? Mm. And you knew, and it's it, and this is why I think a lot of people, myself included, was so angry when McConnell blocked Obama from selecting a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was livid about that shit.
Yeah,
and I was livid when he let that shit go through, and the Democrats let that shit go through.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump's last year in office, it was literally the same scenario.
Yep.
And I wanted to burn shit down because I kept thinking to myself, y'all motherfuckers know, how are you going to get on TV? Susan Collins getting on TV and acting like, oh no, he's an honorable person. He promised that they'll stick to the letter of the law. Motherfucker, do you know who you've been in office as much as these motherfuckers have? You're gonna tell me you're gonna sit there in front of the TV and say that I trust them
mm-hmm.
after the shit they went on that they pulled on with Obama?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all I have to say really is Anna Kasparian on TYT. Right. It's gone, like, this is the thing that's gone viral now. It's on Twitter and everything, and how she like just started breaking. And she started breaking on the Democratic Party because they know this was happening. This is not like some, and like, it's kind of like it dropped. Wait, we find out about it. What, on Tuesday?
Mm.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, the Republicans already got a story out talking about we should persecute the leaker. The person who leaked this story. We should go, ooh, where the fuck are the fucking Democrats with their fucking side?
Yeah.
I'm out here in Pete. They treating this whole fucking thing like Britney Grimes back in fucking Russia. They ain't saying shit.
Yeah.
And I'm so done now. It's the point where even with this fucking chop mouth over here, Adams, I'm done with this motherfucker for real. I'm so disappointed. And I'm so angry that he was the only candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to vote for you because I didn't want that guy. I'm not voting for you. I am not voting for you because you had the best policies. I'm voting for you because it was because of this guy.
Because like most of us, we didn't want a racist Staten Island goon, aka
we didn't
Curtis Sliwa.
Right. But we, you know, and the thing, I'm sorry, but there were other candidates that I still think were viable, especially if they got some backing. Tina Turner, I can't remember something Turner. She just lost to Shaniqua. I can't remember their names right now, but she just lost her seat. And she was a progressive.
Right.
She was like, she was part of the squad progressive type system. She was on TYT, Rebel, okay. You know what I mean? The Damage Report. She'd come on there, she lost.
Wait, you talking about Nina Turner?
Nina Turner, yes.
Yes. Okay.
And lost to her opponent.
But in all fairness, the squad, I read somewhere the squad was a little late on that.
Dude, everybody was late. She's part of a Democratic Party, not the progressive us fucking six women party.
No.
It's the Democratic. Where the fuck were y'all? None of y'all?
No, I did. Dude, I get it.
And the only thing is,
you're right. Nina Turner is the truth.
And the thing is,
I met Nina Turner. She is the truth.
Right. And her opponent, who's also a Democrat, was still getting funded by everybody, by Democrats and Republicans.
I know. Right.
It's kind of like, once you realize that Republican money is involved, there is a problem. If you didn't fucking realize that shit in the 80s, you ain't realized that shit in the 90s, you should have realized that shit after Obama was in office. You should have realized that shit in January 6th.
Mm.
And the fact that they fucking, they even though they know they're wrong, they'll still follow Trump. And you know that. Mm. Even after all of that, some of you gonna tell me they still fucking registered Republican. I really wanted to tell you, fuck you, but I was at work. These are one of those things. It's like, how do you? Ladies and gentlemen.
You're totally.
I was trying to get high earlier, so I don't Kirk, do this. But
Kirk, you're allowed. It's fine. Mark Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
So, among other things, you know, since Kirk kind of brought up the local situation, our local situation with New York.
Mm-hmm.
My man, like, is Eric, I'm gonna put it to you like this, Mark. Is Eric Adams nothing but a Judas cow?
Mm. You know what?
And you've called him worse, but okay.
Yeah, I have. Here's the thing. I'm gonna bring all of this, everything into one pot.
Please.
The rules don't work. Okay. Never have, never will.
Yes.
The reason why we're here is not because of cowardice, is not because something leaked. It's the bottom line is, nothing works.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The rules were not designed to protect the innocent. They're designed to protect the guilty. None of this would have happened if people were held accountable, and no one is ever held accountable.
Well, and
I put it this way.
Unless there's an axe to grind, like Cawthorn, or
it's not even that.
Martha Stewart went to jail.
It's not even that. We're not at a point where.
But Martha Stewart's not on it.
We don't want to stop the train that's running, about to go off the tracks.
Right.
We go back to the whole situation with Merrick Garland not being nominated. Why didn't the Democrats stop Amy Coney Barrett? Nobody wanted to. It's not because you don't have the ability to do it. Not that you had control. You just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am now beginning to think that a lot of this stuff is just hand in hand, that the destruction of one thing is going to bring about somebody else's whatever plan they got over here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sorry, if all of us had been in Washington, D.C. bussing up shit, we'd have been in a open grave,
mm-hmm.
or we'd have been trampled by horses. But it's not even about a look anymore. It's just about, just.
Well, first of all, they would have been ready for us in the first place.
Yeah. It's.
There would have been helicopters. There would have been riot gear. There would have been
snipers.
And now that you start to hear, because here's what this is where it gets messed up,
mm-hmm.
because every single one of these people have been caught on tape saying the complete polar opposite of what they're saying this week. And they're fine with it. Nobody is sitting there going, now, wait a minute, you're not allowed to play that. You're not supposed to be letting the people know that. They're fine letting the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, has been caught lying across mm-hmm. the board.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You want to talk about what happened with the abortion rights? Gorsuch? No. Aito?
Aito?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Kavanaugh?
Mm.
Barrett?
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
The Uncle Tom? Every single one of these people should be disbarred and removed from office, effective immediately for lying under oath.
Ooh.
You lied under oath. If any New York County judge had done that on a major case in this city,
mm-hmm.
that's it. But why bother? What's the point? We got the rules here. This is what the book says, but why use it? The Constitution clearly states, you commit an insurrection against the United States of America, you get put to death.
Wow.
It's there in the Constitution, yet people are still walking around.
Yeah.
Nobody's hanging from the gallows. Nobody's standing in front of a firing squad getting what's coming to them.
Exactly. And my thing is, honestly, I don't even necessarily need somebody to get put to death. I just need them to lose their job so that they can no longer affect what happens in my life.
But here's the thing. Again, don't want to. We can sit here and complain about all of these people. You know why Mitch McConnell is still up there? You know why Manchin and all of them? No term limits.
Yeah.
Not a term limit anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you had a progressive Democrat that people hated and said, we need to have term limits put in place. That's why the filibuster is still there, because you know what? Everybody knows that you get rid of the filibuster, it'd end this mess. But you know what everybody else knows? There's going to be a day I'm going to need that. Some point in my career, I'm
going to. That is why they hang on to it, right?
So that's mm-hmm. why you're holding on to it. Mm-hmm. It's not even about. This whole thing isn't about a moral high ground anymore. This is about holding on to power. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is about. This is not about, we can paint the picture that this is some trickle down thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is this: the court doesn't want to have to make a decision. They don't have to do their job. That's what it is. Because if a case comes before them and they have to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to make that decision. We'll give it back to the states and everything else. I wish, because you know they say, Black folks wish. I wish I lived in a state when somebody put a bounty on my kid for wanting to get an abortion. I wish you would try to track us down. I wish you would and see exactly, because trust me, if I find out who it is, I'm like Al Capone in The Untouchables. I want you to find this guy. I want this guy dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned down to the ground. I want, you know, dogs and cats, the whole nine. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna have a ranch when I'm
there's
done.
Pissing on the grave. I think that's the next.
There, you ain't even gonna have a ranch
house on his ashes. I'm sorry.
Because at point, because here's the thing. What do you think we're going to do? What do you think the people are going to do?
Right.
What do you think? I don't care how morally high you think you are as a Republican. Your daughter gets raped, you going with your shotgun to find the kid that did this. If you sitting in the court and watch them say to this kid, see ya, gone, you can go, just like they let the old boy with the assault rifle walk out of court and talk with the judge sitting there going, we're not gonna call these people victims. No, they're not victims. Right. So right away, you might as well throw the whole case out of the court anyway. We are now at a point. I think the thing that bugs me about this is that this is one of those things where you saw this coming. This wasn't like
truth.
Oh, by the way, we're gonna get rid of abort. Like, they went back and played tapes of Donald Trump saying, I'm going to put pro-life judges on the Supreme Court. He didn't even hide it.
Wow.
He basically said, this is what I'm going to do. And now we're all sitting here. I don't know who leaked this thing. I don't know. This could have been one of two things. This could have been either somebody who was like, yo, the American people need to find out about this. Or this could have been a Republican saying, yo, I'm going to leak this so that we can start getting ready for the backlash when it does happen. Because again, they're blowing that smoke about, well, we need to find the guy who leaked this.
Yeah.
You know, which right.
Distraction.
Distraction.
Yeah. Because they want us to
look over there.
To go over there when, you know, Mitch McConnell said something that had, I forget his name, the late Seth Meyers. It wasn't Seth Meyers. It was Stephen Colbert looked confused because he was like, I don't think we should be worrying about whether or not this leaked paper got leaked. I think we need to worry about the leak from the person who leaked it. And he was like, what? So it's like, and then walked away. And it's like, carry the three. What? You know, I really
he did that on national television.
He actually said that on national television.
But, you know, I mean, all of these people have enough stupid people that are hanging on their every word and doing what they're, you know, basically trying to mandate, push down, all in the name, I hate to say it, all in the name of this vision of white supremacy and everything else. Because ultimately, abortion bans that the white supremacy agenda is ultimately the benefactor of any of this. And that's that. I'm going to switch gears.
Okay. I'm going
to switch gears because we have books to sell.
Okay. But I did want to ask Denise a question. Can I stay on this one thing real quick?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. As the two women on the panel, I mean, I didn't look at it. I'm not looking at it as this white supremacy thing. I'm just thinking of the level of control that males are trying to exert over females. Is that the way that you saw it as well? Or do you?
Definitely the way that I saw it. Okay. Definitely. Yeah, like say that I got pregnant tomorrow and I'm 523 years old. You want me to have this kid and 20 years from now? There's no way. Or what if it's not good for my health to have a child? You're still going to make me have it anyway? Or what if statistically the child is not going to be healthy? Some man is going to tell me how to live my life? Right. He's not going to pay my bills, but you're going to be the boss of me?
Right.
No.
Now, that's an argument I raised. I'm like,
you don't get to tell me what to do. No.
We have a fling. I get pregnant. You decide, well, that's your problem. See ya.
Yeah. There was a story on the news. There's this woman who has like 4 kids already. She got pregnant again. She doesn't want to have a 5th kid. She can't afford the 4 that she has.
Right. Especially if, and I mean,
yeah, it's not even just a fling. And you're going to tell me what to do? No, right. No.
Especially when science backs up the individual's right of choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? The woman's right to choose. Science backs that shit up. So it's kind of like, okay.
But here's the thing. Outside of oppressing women, there is a white supremacy element. Because if you are a Black woman that, for whatever reason, you cannot see a pregnancy to term. Like, first of all, there is the fact that there is limited health care to the Black and brown communities.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that, like, if there's rape, if there's any of that involved whatsoever, you know, all of that all plays into the system. It's like, the thing is, I said something to this effect when someone said, well, okay, so you end up stuck with a baby, you know, it's like, what's the end game? It's ultimately, I think, to be honest, the end game is it's kind of like the Matrix. Because ultimately, if you are stuck in a situation where it's like poverty, you've only got one parent, you know, mom's forced to take this to term. You have limited options, limited everything. You ultimately may feed into the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
Prison system is free labor.
Yeah.
That's what they do when they get those cats in there. They make them work. Whether it's making jeans for or whatever, it's free labor. It's the new version of slavery. Back in Jim Crow days, you could be free, but if you were caught loitering in the wrong place, you still went into the prison system. And next thing you know, you were on a chain gang, hence the fucking song. Okay? So all of that plays into it. And if you're a Black woman and you die giving birth to a kid that you didn't even want, that helps them too. So that is why I'm saying the overall white supremacy game, because ultimately, here's the thing. Any of these people that are pushing this, they don't want to end up outnumbered. And they're on their way. And they're on their way to being outnumbered. That is a statistical fact. So, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, it is no mistake that, you know, we ended up finding out that a Black woman wrote The Matrix in the first place. Because this person has probably done the historical research, has probably looked into it a little bit. It's like, oh, well, you know what? Prison pipeline. We end up feeding that with our children. And then that's just kind of where we are. And all this abortion, being able to, God forbid, have the, you know, have the withdrawal or just have the ability to say what you're going to do with your own body, that goes against what ultimately certain people want.
Well, good luck, because you're not the boss of me.
But and so here's the thing. Here's the thing, Supreme Court, the fact that you had to start putting gates up the fact that you had to start putting gates up means that at the end of the day, you fucked up. You did.
You know you're wrong.
If you got to surround your house with gates, how many Black activists in the 30s and 40s and whatever the fuck would have loved to be able to surround their house with steel gates so the Klan couldn't get to them because they went out in town and said, fuck these racist crackers. Yeah, only to have a bunch of cats, only to have a bunch of cats roll up on horses and sheets and try to burn their house down.
Right.
Yep.
Because that ultimately was the purpose of the burning cross. It's not just to burn the cross, it's to fucking burn your house down. Anyway, we're taking up a lot of time that I kind of look. Here's the thing.
You got about an hour to go.
No, we don't. Shut up.
No.
We've been talking for almost half, at least. I wanna look. Here's the thing. Elmarie Wood, award winner. got more awards than Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep combined.
Oh my God.
He's here with us.
Nice. Yes.
On Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans.
Yay.
I have
let's talk about Black Hole.
That's exactly where I was going.
I'm saying let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I have to let me tell you something. You took the mantle from Steven. Steven had already written a story that I couldn't sleep. Ooh. And then you slap us with not one but two versions of this thing. She was like, you uncomfortable? I'll make you extra uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'll extend your pain.
I'm gonna give it to you all. I would love to know what the inspiration behind that story.
Good question.
It's not, you know, the messed up thing about it is it's not as cool as it could be. I mean, so let me just say this. This scene right here, the cover, which was cool because I got to describe what I wanted, just like what this guy looked like. And the description was Method Man, but really young. I think he didn't. I think he kind of hit it.
Yeah.
Right. When you say that, right? All right. That scene right there happened to me. Now, mind you, people didn't have sidearms, like real sidearms. But if you remember back in the 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s, paintball was the thing you did on like, you know, team building events and all that kind of stuff. And so I had a friend who, you know, knew this guy who knew a guy who had a paintball connection in the middle of the woods, just like this thing.
Right.
So he's like, hey, do you want to go play in this thing? And I'm like, I mean, whatever, who cares? It was a thing to do. It was like a nothing. And we just did nothing to do on this Saturday afternoon in October. So we went. My husband and I went. I was with one of my friends from high school, her husband, and some other people I didn't know. That's the funny part, because these other people I didn't know, man, this man had a paintball sidearm. He was in gear. He had earpieces. And my friend and I started laughing because we're like, what is wrong with him? Like, really? This is serious. He is serious. And so the other team comes up and it, you know, we didn't know them at all. They were just a bunch of guys coming out to play paintball as well. So my friend and I, putting on all this mess, it's October, I told you, it was a cold October now. So we're putting on the earpiece and we're talking to each other and laughing, forgetting that the guys can hear us laughing at them. So the man, when he finally said, okay, it's time for you to go, it was literally capture the flag, just like in the book. And this guy threw a smoke bomb, just like in the book. But when he threw the smoke bomb, you know me now, y'all know me now. You know I started laughing right away. I started laughing now.
I can hear it now. I can literally hear you going.
I was screaming with it, right? And I was hidden pretty well, but now I'm not, because I am like I'm finished because I didn't even know he had a smoke bomb. And I'm like, who carries a smoke bomb? What are we actually doing? My friend is laughing. I'm laughing. I'm like, this is stupid. They're going to find me. I'm going to be shot. But they started shooting and it was cold. Like I keep telling you, paintballs are supposed to hit you and pop.
Yeah.
But when it's cold, they're like little rocks and they don't always break. Ooh. And you feel like you're being stoned at this point. So we heard the bullet. It felt like it. We heard the paintball whizzing by us. And if you can hear it, it's solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're a little afraid, right? Because we're like, that's going to hurt. And so I remember, and I'll never forget it. My husband got shot right in the head, right in the middle. But it
didn't,
well, it was, I'm laughing now because I did laugh then. He was all right. He's fine. But he got shot and it fell off him. So he wasn't out of the game. You're only out of the
game.
Like, pops on you.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were using this to the our advantage because it wasn't breaking. But literally, he got shot like a knot form. So when I saw him, he was like, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm trying to duck because I'm like, you will get me shot, but look at your head. It was too much laughing. I don't know how I survived as long as I did. But the thing that made me write this story is at some point I was pinned down. Like I was laying in the dirt. Just imagine you're in the woods. Now you're scared because people are getting knots on their head and people are getting, you know, hemmed up really. I got on my stomach in the leaves, and that's just not me. I'm not doing that, but I was laying flat, had my gun. I'd been shooting people, but I was behind this log and I felt like I was at war because I could hear this fool with the smoke bomb. He was now yelling that he was about to be shot and he's like asking for backup. And I'm like, oh my God. But they're shooting over my head because I'm laying down behind this log. And I'm like, if he's afraid, it must be really bad. And I keep thinking about my husband who's now out. He got shot some other time. And he's standing on the side. I'm like, his head is so, he's got a big knot. This is going to hurt. I'm like, I want to give up. I don't want to be shot. And now I can hear footsteps coming towards my log. And I'm like, oh God. Oh
gosh.
Gosh. Just wow. So like yeah. I can't, and I'm shooting like without looking, and I'm like spraying. Oh, it was horrible. And I said,
spray the area.
The guy shot me in the hand, and it like hit my knuckle, and my knuckle. Ooh. I thought my hand is broken. It blew up, blew up. In the process of, because it didn't break, so in the process of me looking at it, I came up a little and got shot in the shoulder. And it broke, and I was like, "Oh, I'm out, that's it,
done.
Like this, see his paint. I've never been more terrified. I kept thinking, this is paint, Lisa, it's paint, like relax. And I thought to myself, this is a thing, because what if it wasn't paint? And I remember thinking that, what if that wasn't paint?
Man.
So we played again like fools. My husband with the
knot. Oh gosh, again?
Look, you paid for it. So my hand is blown up, not some other people had like lumps and whatever, but they had lumps too, the other guys. At the end, it was like in the middle of the two games, we were all standing with the two teams standing with each other, like, man, this hurts. This is God, everybody was we were like, is it supposed to be like this? Right. And I went home and I wrote the story. So I later, like a month later, no, it has to have been, well, no, I was in Arizona. I want to say it was like a month later. Mm-hmm. We ended up having this team building thing, but it was in Arizona. And so it was just me. None of the other people who I mentioned were with us. And I'm out there and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to do this. I already know what this is. I literally don't want to do this again. But what are you going to do? It's a team building thing. So I'm out there. I've got my gun. I've got a really good spot. Nobody has a smoke bomb. So I didn't like lose it. Right. And this game didn't even start. They told us to go. And this guy started running because he figured he was just going to dart out. And he put his foot in like this little ditch. It wasn't like a ditch. It was like a hole.
Okay.
Broke his leg.
Oof.
He had to go to the hospital. I don't think he came back to the whole thing after that. And the game was over. Wow. And I was like, I never, you understand me, never playing this again. I'm like, there you go. Thank you very much. So yeah, it came from that. So this first scene and all this poor guy here, yeah. I don't know if you can see him with his back against this log. I was laying flat, but he's got the same facial expression as I did. This terror, like, they're coming for me. I'm saying it's not as cool as it could be, but it is funny.
Oh my gosh.
It's a very intense piece though. You know, there is without spoiling anything, I did want to know, was there supposed to be some form of supernatural element also involved in this story?
Well, see, that's the beauty of psychological horror, at least my brand of it. Sometimes I'll throw some in, but it's really not. It's all about what you think.
Okay.
Often when you're in a situation and you're just out in the world and you see something strange and it looks a little strange, or you tell yourself, don't go that road. You know, I don't want to go that way. And then you go a different way and suddenly there's an accident on the road that you normally would have traveled. You know, one could think it's supernatural, but it likely isn't, right? Mm-hmm. But it's all about your perception. So some of these guys are getting themselves totally freaked out in this scenario, and they're thinking that some of it's supernatural. And there's a lot of variables as to why that is. Maybe they feel like, you know, I know I can do this, so there's something else at play, or something is impacting me and I can't handle it. And it's not human. It's something that I don't know how to battle. Mm-hmm. So that's the trick that your mind will definitely play. And I say that because I didn't know those fake paint bullets would have made me feel like they were real ammunition being shot at me, because there was a moment when I was like, I'm just gonna lay here and bury myself in these leaves. And it was a valid thought, very valid, because I was like, I'm gonna dig right in here and lay in here. For what? It's a game. It can't hurt but that bad. If it hit him in his forehead and it hadn't broken his skin, I was gonna be all right. But I absolutely was like, I'm not getting up, right? For a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And your mind will play that trick. So I threw that supernatural element in, and it's up to I'd love to say it's up to the characters to decide it, but I think that as a reader, you let the characters do what they're going to do, and you tell me if it's supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a fun story, though.
It is.
It's like,
how am I the only one who's not saying, yes, that was a fun story?
Well,
that shit was real.
It is.
That shit was too real for me. That shit was way too.
Having been in the woods with a bunch of white boys.
Yeah.
And we weren't doing paintball or anything like that. There, you know, it was full disclosure. And ultimately that experience helped me write a section of Brookwater's Curse 2. I'm working at MTV, and as you can imagine, I am one of few African Americans there, but I'm pals, at least on the surface, with all these cats, and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to Lake George, we're going to camp, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Hey, SVP, you want to come? And my first reaction, of course, is like, no, what are you talking about?
Hell no.
What's with you fucking yahoos? Like, the fuck are you talking about? But peer pressure being what it is, I guess I end up going to trip, and I don't regret the trip at all. It was actually very relaxing. I actually, once I got comfortable, I had a really hard time staying awake. But being in the woods in general, in the onset, oh shit. Especially if you're like a city mouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, all right. You know, but, you know, and it's like there's rules, and it's like leave the boots out of the tent, and there's all this other random stuff. And don't get me wrong, these guys were actually glam camping.
Oh, nice.
Like, we had a full movie screen.
Nice.
And a generator.
Glamping.
And a griddle, and you could fucking scramble your own eggs, and you could, like, this, like, no. Outside of the fact that the restroom situation was, you know, was what it was, you know, it was like, no, it's like, this isn't like full on, like, you know, Bear Grylls go out in the woods and, you know, maybe you run into a mountain lion and you got a fucking, you know, bite that mother. It wasn't that.
Got to boil your water just you can drink it.
Right. Exactly. That it wasn't that at all. Because I got to tell you right now, I would have figured out a way to go to fuck home if it was that.
Right.
But that being said, you know, it's like I want to say if Black folks went camping with each other more often, it would be a thing that we could, you know. But I mean, let's face it, you can go to the Poconos right now and on a full-on bus trip, bunch of Black folks going to somewhere upstate where there's like a mountain and some skiing and this and that. Maybe three people are skiing and everybody else is trying to have sex with somebody's wife or husband. And that,
well, yeah.
And that is,
what else you going to go to Poconos for?
Right, exactly. That's our version of camping.
I'm just saying. Huh. I'd
be drinking in the lodge.
See, in the lodge. Exactly.
And I got to say, Steve, that might be our city bias talking. Because I'll be honest, I'm not even from this country, coming from Trinidad. I never even thought about the idea of Black folks in the woods and camping and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then I understood, oh, wait, you idiot. There are Black people who live in the South who live in woods.
Exactly.
Right? And recently I ran into somebody around my neighborhood who lives in Brooklyn, who lives in the neighborhood, but who is from like Alabama. And who's a bow hunter in Alabama, right? And him and another guy who actually did the pig hunting in Texas.
Oh,
were they shooting wild pigs? It was in Georgia. I'm sorry. He used to do it in Georgia. Back of a truck, and you shooting wild pigs. So they done that woodcraft shit.
Yes.
And so, you know, I mean, they're out there. It's just kind of like, are you ready to do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing because being from, you know, originally from New York, and then I live in West Virginia now. So, I don't know that we go camping per se, right? I don't know that we go and setting up a tent. I'm not saying none of us do, but setting up a tent and, you know, all of that stuff, making a fire and cooking it, that happens, sure.
Sure.
But there are people who live in the woods. They're off the grid and they're not even think there's no grid. They don't know what a grid is. They're just in the woods and that's what they're doing.
Right.
And I see that here. Right. I mean, we have a saying, you know, people come from over the mountain to go to the store. And I'm on the side of the mountain where the store is, if you will. One store, there's a bunch of stores over
you
here.
You are a New Yorker. Come on.
You know, I can't believe it so far. Right. But when you think about, when you look at the Black hole, that group of people who are doing the working job, they're always working, they're at this thing, their friends are from work, their friends, you know, I threw my alma mater in there, so you got some college, you know, grads in there talking. It was a deliberate distinction to show, we don't know anything about these woods and you all know way too much about these woods. So we're in a little bit of trouble. Because we're at a disadvantage here. And they became prey right away. I mean, they were always going to be prey, you know.
It was kind of like their bravado kind of like sealed their fate.
Exactly. Right? And that's what happens in all of these scenarios where, you know, if I could go not even a mile away. And even when I lived in New York, because I didn't live in my grandmother lived in the city, but I was in Rockland. So a mile away from my house there, I could have gone into the woods and found the deer and the you know, all the woodland creatures, and I'd have been right there.
Right.
But here I can do that. And if I make a left turn down a dirt road, it literally looks like that movie was from here. What's the name of that movie? The horror series?
American Horror Story?
No. It's a movie series. Oh my goodness. It's escaping me.
The Purge?
Inbred? No. They're inbred.
Oh, wrong turn.
Wrong turn. Literally, that's a West Virginia movie, by the way. Just I'm saying. Not near me.
The Appalachians.
Up here. And I'm saying I could find that just 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I'm like those guys who wandered into the woods out of the office, if you will. So, you know, I think it was an important, like, to see the two next to each other and realize that we're not you know, there's not really so many scenarios that we don't end up in the boat like this. And that's kind of
terrible. Right. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow. We are out of time, or we're quickly running out of time. Ms. Wood, this would be your time to, I guess, basically sell some stuff. So please, what's happening? What's going on? What's available? Where can people buy stuff? Hit us now, please.
Okay, you know, I'm so terrible at this, but the black hole is what we just talked about. So, and I love this cover so much, I keep showing it. So you can find this at Mocha Memoirs Press. You can also find this on Amazon. And I want to say Bookshop. I think I'm right about that. Everything else that you that I've written, telecommuting, The Realm, all the stuff, can be found at Amazon and Target, which is awesome, and Bookshop, most of it at Bookshop. And I have a new, my very first dark romance novel comes out on May 6th, tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, shit. Okay.
About that. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. I've never written that before, so why not, right? And that also is like all those places, Target, Bookshop, and Amazon, and...
Wait, what, and what's the name of the dark romance?
The name of the dark romance is The Tryst.
The Tryst.
I read a little bit of it. This can be good. Yeah, this could be really good.
Thank you very much.
It's funny because that used to be my stage name. But
Tryst? Oh my. It's not just romance. It's like, oh my God, I can't even finish. So, I looked up and saw that. I cannot even finish. The Tryst is dark romance, but it's also science fiction, which is kind of an interesting mix, and a little bit of psychological horror. It's the beginning of a series that we're calling a saga, which I don't know. I like it. It sounds fine to me. And it's book one of the saga. And in these books, I'm going to try and like touch upon a lot of different genres. And it's kind of experimental for me just because, you know, why not play a little bit? So,
yeah.
Right. That's like one of the only four-letter words that just sounds greater than the four letter words like epic and saga.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Hey man, why you gonna work late? Man, I got a saga for you.
Have a seat.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't work on our city jobs though. Kirk,
it does.
Real quick. You just launched your
first book. Company. Yes, first book, The Obanox, it is pronounced, and Other Tales of Heroes and Horrors. You can find this Amazon on Kindle and Book Baby Bookshop for also EPUB and PDF. And the print version is now out on the bookshop.
Ah!
So at the bookshop, you can go to the bookshop and buy the paperback version of the Obanox. Yes. If you want to find out what the Obanox is, you're gonna have to buy the material.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I got my copy.
Thank you,
Mr. Rabbit.
Mm.
Anything new happening with you?
I am currently working on a new religion workshop for the Speculative Fiction Academy. Miss Wood has put me to task, and let me tell you, man, no, you know what? It's a learning experience. There are things she has me looking at religions that I didn't even know existed, and they're extremely fascinating, and I'm looking forward to finally getting all of those up and getting that class out pretty soon.
Awesome. Okay.
He's good too. I'm telling you, he's doing a fantastic job. I remember I asked you to look into that religion that I can't even pronounce. The one that starts with the Z.
Zoroastrian?
I
can't say it.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I could say it.
Zoroastrian. Yeah.
Zoroastrian?
Yeah. That's
that's a good religion to get into, actually.
Yeah. It's got a lot of rabbit holes too.
Yeah,
don't want to go too far
don't
down.
Don't forget the Baha'i one too. That's an interesting one.
Oh, Baha'i. And Baha'i. Yeah. Oh, okay.
She had me look. She had me look at Wicca, and then what I didn't realize, it took me straight down the pagan route, and I was like, "Oh, okay. I see what you did there."
Nice. I'm a big fan of the SVP religion, but anyway, Denise.
I'm working on novel number 2, Enlightening of the Damned. It's about 90% done. I just have to make some adjustments here and there. I'm also polishing up a collection of short stories. I'm calling The Friends and Foes of Grandmother Zenobia because people love her so much. She was different points in her life. Yeah, when she's younger, contemporary.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I felt that in 2 very specific parts of my body. And as for me, a lot of stuff's in play, but a lot of stuff's already been done. Please visit www.laughingblackvampire.com for all the stuff that's already been done, and stay tuned for a host of other things. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the umpteenth episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. I want to thank, as usual, Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, Denise Tapscott for putting up with my nonsense. And of course, our very special guest,
Wood Boogie.
Wood Boogie with the shelf full of just award after award after award. Dare I say, like, we're literally just seeing the smallest portion of her house. This is the portion where there aren't any trophies and certificates and stuff. Right. Probably the only place. It's lit after this. Like, if you go too far left or too far right, it's either like an award or a Basquiat or something. I can't even imagine.
The award to the left of me. Basquiat to the right of me.
Exactly. Oh my God.
To the Valley of Death Road, the 300.
Look crazy.
Well, what do you want, woman? Anyway, that's our show for tonight. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Happy belated happy May 4th.
May the 4th.
And if you want to see some real cool lightsaber shit, oh my God, go to Mark's Instagram, because he lost his fucking mind. and that's kind of it. We're gonna not hit the 1 hour and 46 minute mark last time. And we're gonna, because nobody really wants that. Like, that's like a fucking movie. Anyway, we're done. We're walking away. We're probably gonna talk amongst ourselves, but you won't be subjected to that, folks. We love you. We mean it. Thank you for listening. And hey, no matter how fucking hopeless things feel right now, voting is actually still a really good fucking idea.
Absolutely.
So let's fucking do that, please. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all I got.
I'd rather get eaten by a sandworm.
Thanks, everybody.
And then fucking sandworms. All right, later.